This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
This is 1320 WILS. As you heard in the last half hour, if you've lost your power, you're likely not going to see it restored until Friday, potentially, but it looks like overnight you will likely not have power tonight. That was both from the BWL and Consumers Energy, so keep that in mind. Later in the half hour, we'll talk about why the AARP, the American Medical Association, and the American Hospital Association all coming out against the Republican healthcare proposal. But let's begin with what happened today. China's foreign minister came out and actually warned us, the U.S., about what we're doing in South Korea, deploying this anti-missile system. He said that we're heading into a looming crisis and that the U.S. is stoking this conflict with North Korea. Kevin McCauley with us. He's with the Jamestown Foundation, served as a senior intelligence officer for the Soviet Union, Russia, China, and Taiwan during over 30 years in federal government. Kevin, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you for asking me on your show.
Yeah, I want to ask you first about all the leaks we're seeing, because Donald Trump is outraged by it. And is this a new level of leaking, would you say, out of the intelligence agencies?
If it is coming from the intelligence agencies, it's certainly unprecedented, the amount of leaking. I know on the news services, they also think that ex-Obama administration people are responsible for some of the leaks.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're an intelligence officer, how do they talk about potential leaks? How do they keep people from doing this kind of thing?
You're supposed to be very security conscious and very, very careful of safeguarding classified information. So, that's pretty much ingrained in most intelligence analysts that I knew, and you'd be very careful about divulging anything that even seemed to be classified or sensitive information.
Yeah. And as a senior intelligence officer yourself, how much work did you do specifically in dealing with China?
I spent most of my last 15 years of my career as the senior China analyst for the Army.
Mm-hmm. What was your assessment? How much of a threat were they becoming at that time?
I still follow them very closely. Their modernization is progressing, and they're increasingly becoming more competent and more of a threat to any opponent that might face them. Mm-hmm. They have a long-range modernization plan that goes out to 2049 with the intent to become equal to the advanced militaries in the world by that time. So it's a long-range plan, and so they've got a long way to go.
As we stand right now, how much of a threat are they to the U.S.?
They can be very dangerous to U.S. forces in the Pacific and in the region. And, of course, they do have nuclear capability, which can reach the U.S., although they're more of a nuclear deterrent force than any sort of offensive force like what the Soviet Union or Russia had has.
A deterrent from who? Who are they? They're worried about us, or what is it?
Well, their modernization is in part because as they grow stronger economically, their military was extremely backward and not very capable, and so I think any country wants to have a competent, strong military. Mm-hmm. But they do have territorial disputes, in particular, as has been in the news lately, the South China Sea, where they're building up islands and militarizing islands.
So do you think if we confront them on that, will they back off at this time?
No, I think that's a core issue. They have a number of core issues, which I do not think they would back away from. I don't think Beijing wants a conflict with anyone, but over certain core issues, in particular what they consider territorial issues, such as the South China Sea, which they consider a part of China or Taiwan, which they feel is a part of China, they will not back down over those issues, even if they aren't really prepared militarily.
Yeah, if we had a military incident and we saw Chinese and American soldiers dying, is that enough, you think, to ignite a larger conflict?
Well, if it ever came to that, I mean, it would at that point be a shooting conflict, and I'm not sure. It would be very difficult to try to de-escalate a conflict once it starts. I would hope the U.S. government would try to engage Beijing. But again, you know, they feel like they have a chip on their shoulder from the what they call the 100 years of domination by the West.
Right.
During the imperial Chinese period.
So they're, again,
they consider the territorial issues core issues.
It's their neck of the woods, let's face it, right? I mean, Kevin McCauley with us, the Jamestown Foundation. I want to ask you, though, about North Korea, because this is really what's brewing now. What do you make of their foreign minister coming out and saying that we're heading into a looming crisis and blaming us for announcing that we're going to install this missile defense system in South Korea?
Yeah, I don't follow North Korean issues that closely, but I mean, the North Korean government under their leader, Kim Jong-un, is very disturbing and very dangerous. I mean, he killed had his own half-brother assassinated. He had a uncle killed. He's had some 340 executions, including senior military and political leaders.
So why is China not using its power to get them under control?
Well, I don't think Beijing is happy with what Pyongyang is doing, but they desperately want to keep North Korea as a going concern because they like to see it as a buffer on their border between China and South Korea.
Yeah.
And I think they just don't want to pressure North Korea too much.
But what's the real fear? Do they actually think that we would somehow try to enter their territory or take land from China somehow? Or?
No, they just want to keep North Korea going as a buffer state. They see some use to it. They're also afraid that if there is a conflict, there'll be a large surge of Korean refugees into China, and they really do not want to see that occur. And they would prefer to see greater stability on the Korean Peninsula.
Okay, how unstable do you feel the region is at this moment?
Well, with the current regime in North Korea, Kim Jong-un is kind of the definition of a loose cannon. I mean, he's caused incidents with South Korea sinking one of their ships. He's very a disturbing character and very dangerous, and I don't think anybody can really estimate exactly what he might do.
But you're saying China somehow doesn't mind. So in a sense, they'd prefer some kind of a real military crisis than see him taken down. Is that it?
Well, they don't want a crisis, and they are, I think, very upset with what he is doing. They would like to see him focus on trying to reform their economy and try to fix things internally within North Korea. But on the other hand, they just don't seem to feel like they want to push him to curb his sort of aggressive actions and rhetoric that's coming out of the North.
We're talking to Kevin McCauley with the Jamestown Foundation, a former senior intelligence officer over 30 years working for the federal government. And can you tell us which agencies you were working for?
I work for Army most of my
uh-huh.
career.
And now you dealt with the Soviet Union also and Russia. Now, what is your feeling on all the news we've been seeing about their meddling with our election? Is this as big of an issue as the press is making it out to be?
Yeah, I think it is very disturbing, and it is part of a larger pattern that you can see from coming from President Putin. I mean, President Putin has sort of replaced communist ideology, which saw a conflict with the West because it was a capitalist. He's replaced that ideology with a sort of an extreme Russian nationalist ideology.
Is that a real threat to us, though, here in the U.S.?
Well, he sees a sort of a clash of civilizations between what he calls the Russian world and the Western world. He thinks the West is trying to weaken and dismember Russia, and that's why we're seeing these influence campaigns and intimidation, not only against former Soviet republics like Ukraine and the Baltic states, but also against the West. He wants to divide and weaken the West, weaken NATO. He wants to disrupt the U.S. internally so that we'll be more internally focused and not so much focused on what activities he's conducting around the world.
President Trump wants to have some common interests. Can we have such a thing? Is there any way to come to common ground with Vladimir Putin?
Well, I really can't fault for President Trump for trying to or for wanting to start a relationship with Putin, but with the ideology that he has and with some of the people he's surrounded himself with, I really don't think that he can find much common ground or find any sort of friendship with
him. Now, we've seen his opponents, some of his opponents and journalists that went up against him. Well, they've been murdered. Do you believe he's like a psychopathic killer?
No, I think that's under the Soviet Union, the KGB had what they call wet affairs, where they used assassination and kidnappings against opponents. And, of course, President Putin is a former KGB officer. Mm-hmm. So I think they are likely using these methods against opponents.
Okay. Do you think he's ordering the killings themselves?
Well, it's not known. They're very suspicious. I mean, the murder of Boris Nemtsov in the shadow of the Kremlin, the murder of a prominent opposition journalist. He was, the Russian government was linked to the assassination of Alexander Litvinenko in Britain, where he was...
You say the Russian government, but not him specifically, you're saying?
Not him specifically. Okay. The British government did an investigation, and they found that two Russian intelligence officers were responsible for poisoning him.
And your feeling is what? Do you think he knows these are happening? Do you think he's telling people to go out and kill these people?
It's very, very suspicious. Okay. I would be surprised if the Russian government did not know what was going on.
These are happening, yeah. Kevin McCauley with the Jamestown Foundation here on WILS. Kevin, thank you so much for your expertise. Really enjoyed it.
Okay, thank you for having me.